Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for this day is the gospel lesson, Mark chapter 1, that was just read. You may be seated. Great indeed is the difference between the prophet and the mystic. The mystic seeks a world beyond the visible, beyond the limitations of space and time. It is for this very reason that the mystic is characterized by silence, for the object of his desire transcends space and time. It transcends the limitations of the body, and it therefore cannot be expressed in mere words or manifested in any concrete vision. And so the mystic is characterized by silence, but words are the signs of the prophet. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, says Jeremiah. I was weary of holding it back. Indeed, I could not. The prophet cannot help but speak. If he refuses to speak, the very stones would cry out. The mystic is characterized by silence, but words are the signs of the prophet. Words that are confined to the heart are merely private, personal theories. Words that remain in the silence of the mind are merely speculation. However, when those words sound forth from the tongue, they are no longer theory. Now they are confession. Words that proceed from the lips are no longer safe and secure. They are no longer private ideas. Now they are public. They stand naked for all to hear. The words that are heard are always judged. Silence carries no consequences. However, to speak takes courage. The one who opens his mouth must expose himself to criticism, scorn, and judgment. To speak, a man must make himself vulnerable. To open his mouth, a man must be willing to open up his own soul as well. He must be ready to back up his words with his very life. In the gospel lesson for this day, we learn that Jesus comes into the world to speak, to open his mouth concerning the kingdom of God. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The teaching ministry of Jesus is of the greatest importance. The fact that Jesus now opens his mouth and speaks means that the gospel of salvation is no longer hidden in the depths of God's being. God's almighty and all-powerful word does not remain in the silence of the mind. His plan to save the world is no longer private speculation or personal theory. Rather, at the precise moment that Jesus now opens his mouth, the gospel of God enters the public domain. In the words that proceed from Jesus' lips, the very essence of God's love is made manifest. God's very nature is laid bare before the world. The gospel is no longer speculation. Now it is confession. Jesus must be ready to back up his words with his very life. The courage and commitment required of Jesus in order to open his mouth is surely difficult for us to fully appreciate. In our day, books abound. The thoughts, speculations, and theories of men appealing to an audience surround us. In America, everyone has the right to speak or to write whatever he wishes. Indeed, freedom of speech has made words cheap and easy to come by. Our multimedia world bombards us with its deceptive sermons for the purpose of gaining a profit. Politicians preach a better economy and more helpful programs. Universities promise a lucrative career and a comfortable future. Wall Street preaches financial security and an enjoyable retirement. And so the world fills our ears with its preaching. Above all things, the world promises to help us with our temporal lives. The world would help us be happier and wealthier and prettier, more comfortable, more content, more relaxed. The world's teaching may indeed affect the form of our lives. It may affect the function, the appearance, and the style of our earthly existence. But the world's words cannot affect the essence of life itself. The world may make us happier, wealthier, and prettier, but only for the moment. It may make our lives more comfortable, more content, and more relaxed, but only until death overtakes us. As long as we remain obsessed with our lives in this dying world, as long as we only seek help with our temporal existence, as long as we are content to be happier, wealthier, and prettier, then we will never grasp the significance of Jesus' words. Jesus speaks not to affect the mere form of life in this world, but to affect the essence of life itself in the world to come. It is for this reason that our Lord, when he speaks, must confront the fury of the devil and his kingdom. You see, the devil is not threatened by modern man's hope for a better world. Hell's angels have no fear of those who would merely help man with his earthly existence. However, when Jesus opens his mouth, then the devil must attack. And so when Jesus teaches, St. Mark tells us that an evil spirit manifested himself. Yet in confrontation with the devil, Jesus' words are seen to come with authority. Be silent and come out, Jesus says. When Jesus opens his mouth, the devil's power is threatened. When the words of our Lord sound forth, the kingdom of hell is in severe distress. However, one cannot speak without making himself vulnerable to attack. And so it is with Jesus. When Jesus opens his mouth, he must open up his very soul. When Jesus speaks, he must now accept the consequences of the cross. For St. Mark, Jesus cannot preach without suffering. He cannot open his mouth without bearing the burden of death. The cross proves that Jesus' teaching is no mere personal speculation or vain theory used to gain a profit. Rather, his teaching sounds forth from the deepest conviction. His words are confession. Jesus practices what he preaches. He backs up his teaching with his own life. In fact, it is in the cross that we now see the full authority of Jesus' gospel. For through the cross, Jesus enters into the heart of the devil's kingdom, binds him hand and foot, and rises triumphant on Easter Sunday. Death and resurrection are the goal of Jesus' words. The resurrection manifests the power and authority of Jesus' preaching. When he speaks, life itself is created, death is overcome, and hell is in utter disarray. And dear friends, this same Jesus who stands triumphant over the devil continues to open his mouth in our hearing even this day. When the absolution is heard, there is the authority to forgive sins. When the water is poured and the divine name is invoked, there the devil must cower and flee. Where bread and wine are consecrated, there the essence of life itself is now present for us. Indeed, here at this altar, Christ offers you what no politician, no physician, no stockbroker, no store in the mall could possibly give. He offers you the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the world to come. To Christ our Lord be all the glory now and forever. Amen.